Dan, thank you for coming, and your wife Melody is here as well. Hello. And they give leadership to our missions work in our district. And he called me up a few weeks back and said, or emailed me, I guess it was, and said, we've got a man coming from India to be a part of a conference in Edmonton that is focused on reaching into the Sikh communities. And there are several large Sikh communities here. And so would you like him to come and speak? And because this month we've been focusing a lot on outreach, I thought, perfect. So that's why you guys are here. So Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can walk this through and introduce us to Narinder.
Thank you very much, Pastor Kevin. Good morning, Hinton Alliance. We're not new to this church. We've been coming here since Owen Bain was here. So that's been a while, visiting the congregation here from time to time when we're home from our mission responsibilities in Africa. We just sang a great anthem of the church. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Can you picture with me that day at the end of the time when we're standing around the throne with someone, representatives from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation singing that song? It'll be a great day. But that day hasn't come yet. You know why? Because every kindred, tribe, and nation does not yet have followers of Jesus in it. And this is what this conference we were involved in was all about. Reaching the largely unreached Sikh populations of the world, over almost 30 million Sikhs in the world. And not that many have become followers of Jesus yet. And so the Lausanne movement sponsored a conference in Edmonton, bringing people from all over the world who are, many of them were Sikh background believers. They came to faith in Christ and are seeking to reach their own people with the message of Jesus. And Narinder and his wife Rani, they are from the homeland of the Sikhs, the Punjab in India. And he was representing that area and his ministry there. And we have the great opportunity of hosting them. We had the privilege of seeing, letting Rani experience snow for the first time yesterday in up by Maleen Canyon there. She was really enjoying the snow. So thank you for hosting us and for giving us this privilege to be here with you today. And I'm just going to call Narinder and Rani to come and share the message today that God has laid on their hearts for you today. So let's welcome Narinder and Rani.
Hinton Alliance, a very good and holy morning. Sorry. I'm used to speaking without a mic, so because we have a small house church back in India, as Dan rightly pointed out, there's a lot of work to be done. Not many people know the love, the grace of Christ Jesus. So whenever I come to North America, I feel so happy to see there are already so many of you who know the Lord. I want to congratulate you for what you are. I want to congratulate you that the Lord has chosen you for his purposes. So Hinton Alliance, congratulations. As I came into Edmonton and we attended this conference Dan was talking about, we learned that there are many who are working in the mission fields, many who are striving to take the gospel to the most unreached places. Well, it's never easy. The Lord never promised it's going to be easy. But the Lord definitely promised that if you are faithful, if you do that, as he commands in Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, that he will be with us till the end of the time. Right? What Dan mentioned, how glorious and nice it would be when we gather around his mighty throne and shout out, "Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So thank you for having us over, Kevin. It is such a pleasure to be here amongst you. English is not our first language. This is our second or maybe third language, probably. We speak Punjabi, which is the local language of the area we come from. I have a full-time job in an American software company. I'm the chief operating officer plus the chief marketing officer. My one and only wife of 32 years gives me a lot of support, not only in the work that I do for a living, but also the work I do, or should I say we do, to serve the Lord as he leads us. Have we had persecution? No doubt. Have we had life-challenging situations? Absolutely. Does that douse the flames of passion for the Lord? Not at all. Makes them stronger. Because we know, even if we perish for the Lord, that is such a privilege. That is so good to use this body and this life to serve the name above all names, at which every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. We serve a glorious God. If you agree with me, say Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Thank you. Thank you. I was telling Kevin this morning that Kevin and I have something in common. We both are farmers from our early times. So I don't know how many of us in this room are from a farming background. Have you heard about a potato farmer in Australia by the name of Albert Ernest Clifford Young? No? You have, somebody? You have heard, okay, good. You have heard as well, excellent. And I would also request someone to keep me in check for the time. I don't want to go overboard talking about what I have to share with you. So please feel free to indicate, hey man, come back now. So. So Albert Young, as I would refer to him, was an Australian potato farmer. He passed away about 12 years ago. You know what was unique about him? He took part in the Sydney to Melbourne Ultra Marathon in 1983. And at that time, he was 61 years old. So this guy, he ran this 875 kilometers, right? When he came to start the race, he showed up in his overalls and his work boots. So the other contestants, I'm sure those who know about him would agree how that looked like. The other experienced marathoners, they sneered at him. Hey, look at this guy. He's in his work boots and he's come to run an ultra marathon. Now see what happens. So he ran at a very slow pace. And while other competitors, they stopped every day to take that 6 hour of sleep in the night and then get up in the morning and keep running, as all of you who run marathons would know, I mean ultra marathons would know. But our friend Albert Young, he kept running. He did not sleep for 6 hours. He did not know the rules that you have to sleep as well. He kept running. And because of this, he ran for 5 days, eventually winning the race by 10 hours. He told the press that, you know what, I'm so used to running 2-3 days straight to round up sheep in my gumboots. It was nothing new to him. And when he was given the prize money, $10,000 Australian, he said, was there a prize as well? I didn't know. I enjoy running, so I just ran. And this man, he did not keep a single dollar of that $10,000 Australian that was given to him. He found out there were five people who actually completed that ultra marathon. So he distributed that 10,000 amongst the five equally, without keeping a single dollar for himself. Now, why are we talking about young today, this ultra marathoner? The term race, the term running the race, the term finishing the race has a lot of resonance in scriptures. Yes or no? Paul talks about it. So let's together explore what the race is all about. You must have heard about the Aesop's fable of the rabbit and the tortoise, or the rabbit and the turtle, as someone may like to address that. What happens in that story? The rabbit, very proud of his fast pace, he is actually quite surprised. Why is the turtle or the tortoise trying to compete with me? I'm so fast. And he runs and rests under a tree before the finish of the race and goes off to sleep. And what does the turtle do? Yes, gradually, slowly, he crosses the rabbit, goes beyond the finish line. By the time rabbit gets up and he sees he's lost the race. So today, we live in a world which is fascinated by new beginnings, which is why we try to run after things. We want to begin a lot of things, a lot of programs, ideas, projects. We want to begin them. But very little concern for finishing what we start. Would you agree with me? We have great ideas, new concepts. Like in India, we talk about the artificial intelligence, the machine learning, the virtual reality, right? These are new ideas. And I was speaking at a HR conclave back in India, and I said, you know what, in the coming days, and I'm sure you all know about this, in the coming days, there'll be different kinds of jobs. Many of the professions that we see today will not be there anymore. For instance, self-driving trucks. So you don't need truckers anymore. The trucks will drive themselves for days and nights without stopping because they don't get tired. They are machines. So what would the drivers do? They'll have to look for an alternative profession. And I read somewhere that the times to come, there'll be huge factories run by machines. And a huge factory would employ just one man and one dog. The man's job will be to feed the dog, and the dog's job would be to make sure the man does not touch any machine. Today, as we sit here at the Hinton Alliance and we laugh at these things, I would laugh with you heartily, but these are some realities and truths we are about to come across, maybe in our lifetime. So when the school gets tough, we quit. When job gets challenging, we quit there as well. When our marriage gets too difficult, we go in for a divorce. When parenting gets demanding, we withdraw. When friendships get very transparent, we back off. Statistics have indicated, as per my study, that there is no difference between the believer and the unbeliever when it comes to finishing what we start. The Lord put upon my spirit last night that you need to talk about finishing what you start. Believe me, like always, I did not prepare this sermon days in advance because I keep asking the Lord, what do you want to speak with your people? Because all of you are his beloved. Here I'm not expounding my intelligence or my talents. It is the Lord speaking to you using this broken vessel. So when you clap for the Lord, not for me. I'm not worthy of that. Worthy is the Lamb. Okay. So in our churches too, and this is all over the world, there is an increasing desire for spiritual and religious experiences. Without the desire to live a holy life for the good of others and for the glory of God. I don't know why the Lord told me this, but I'm just giving you what he said. So if you turn to your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'll repeat that because that's very integral to our faith. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, if you notice something very interesting in this scripture, Paul does not talk about how he started the race. He doesn't mention that anywhere. Instead, he talks about how he fought and how he finished. Right? Let's go back for a moment. We are good at starting a lot of things, but we struggle in the area of completing and finishing stuff. So the Bible comes as a testimony in front of you right now. It says, Paul does not talk about how he started. He talks about how he fought and how he finished the race. Also, he does not talk about how successful he was in doing the work that the Lord had set before him. His focus was on being faithful and leaving the results up to God. So I was observing and I thought, if we could focus just on being faithful than being successful, we would be more successful in being faithful. If we could focus, I'm repeating this because this is important. If we could focus on being faithful than being successful, believe me, brothers and sisters, we would be more successful at being faithful. And that is what matters to Jesus. The horse is readied for the war, but who gives the victory? It is the Lord. Don't worry about success. Worry about being faithful. Because the victory comes from God. It's not your and my talent or strengths. We may think that way because it's very obvious that sometimes we say, oh, I have done so much. I was with a friend in Vancouver 4 days, 5 days ago probably. Yeah. An old friend from Australia, Andrew Pine, and he was mentioning, he still does not know the Lord well, so he was mentioning my wife whenever we go through good hotels and resorts to stay, and she says, oh, thank God we got such a nice room. Oh, thank God there's such a nice beach here. He says, God gets a lot more credit because I am the one who's booking those hotels. Why is God getting the credit? But you and I know, without God, we can do nothing. John 15, 5, right? The Lord himself says, without me, you can do nothing. I was sharing with a friend in Edmonton, Peter. I was telling Peter, you know, I work for this American software company, and one day my CEO, his name is Kevin too, Kevin was saying, he said something which I didn't like, although he doesn't do that regularly, but maybe something he mentioned. So I said, hey, Kevin, let me tell you something. If you think you pay me salary, you are deluded. It is Jesus who pays me salary, not you. He immediately apologized. He said, I'm so sorry, I hurt you. You know, these things become laughing matters sometimes, but actually behind, deep inside, these are the truths. So when we give offerings, we think we are giving it from my pocket, my wallet. But actually, what you are giving is already belonging to God. You are giving a tiny bit of that, what belongs to Him already, back to Him. Amen? Okay, great. So, to persevere day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year is not easy. And like I said in the beginning, Jesus never promised that it would be easy. He promised just the opposite. If you look in your Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23, in that verse, he asked his disciples that we would have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him every day. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him every day. Now, not when the sun is out, the sky is blue, the clouds are fleecy, but even when the waves of trials are crashing over us and we are hanging on for dear life, even then, we need to take up the cross and follow him. Now, most people, when they hear this word, it seems very intimidating. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. What does that mean? Let's share a bit. I did some research on this and I found that when you say taking up the cross, let me give you three or four or five scenarios. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your closest friends? If it means alienation from your family, loss of your reputation, losing your job, or like I said sometime back, losing your life. It does not mean that all these things are going to happen to you, but are you willing to take up your cross? Does that help understand what it means to take up the cross? To follow Jesus, like I've been staying with Les and Char, and in their house is written, "For we have decided to follow the Lord," something like that, right near the door. So have we all actually decided to follow the Lord no matter what the cost? If the answer is yes, you're taking up the cross. You're pretty much following the word. Congratulations to you. And if you're still deciding about it, there is hope for you because you're still breathing, still living. Okay. To live for Jesus, we must die to ourselves. And that, dear brothers and sisters, can take a lifetime. It doesn't happen in a day, in a week or a month, going to a retreat or a great motivating conference. It's a lifetime effort to die to ourselves and to live for the Lord. But when you read the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, a lot of comfort. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." That's the assurance that the word gives us. So we are all great sinners, all fall short of the glory of God. We all know that. But God's grace is bigger than the greatest sin we can commit. How glorious is our Lord! He never leaves us in our sin. If you let him, he pursues you. He picks you up. He puts you back on his path every day. What we need to do is just persevere. He helps you with all of that. He never forsakes you. The power that raised the Lord Jesus from his death in the tomb, that same power is working in you. And it can turn every obstacle that you are facing, every challenge you are encountering today, into an opportunity to glorify God. that same power. So concluding this, because I have to share my testimony as well, I try to keep this short. Anyone can start well. Anyone can start something well. It's easy to do that, because you're just starting off. Only the truly committed will finish well. So, as our friend, the ultra marathoner, Young, from Australia, slow and steady ultimately wins the race. So now, I would share with you how we came to know the Lord. How many of you have been to India? Dan? Okay. Three? Okay, we have three people in the congregation been to India. That's great. So I would invite Rani to come with me here. She got tired of standing, not speaking anything. So please come. Please clap for the Lord so that she gets motivated. Folks, we have not rehearsed this, let me tell you. This is impromptu. Rani was telling me we must practice what we are going to say. So she knows that I go by the Spirit mostly, which many of you may not agree with, but I have found it works for me quite well. It's natural, spontaneous. You don't have to remember, oh, what did I say, what did I have to say, what I missed out, so as the Spirit flows. So Rani and I have been married 32 years. Our first 20 years was a big failure. I was not a good husband at all. And lost my job. I used to work with an Australian company based in Perth in Western Australia. I was talking to Les this morning that this, last night rather, that this was a mining software company. I was the country head for India. And I lost my job there. Because I did something very stupid, which I should not have done, but yes, it is what it is. So I lost my job. After that, I got into another job. The owner of this new company, where I was the director of purchase, had me sign some documents which made me liable to pay millions of rupees to suppliers. It was done in such a way that I did not realize that I'm being fooled into signing those papers. Long story short, I was headed to jail because I had signed some documents. I called Rani, let her know the situation so that she can prepare herself when I'm in jail. Now, what happens after that? Would you like to share that? What happened when you prayed to God, right? Because you did not know the Lord so well at that time. So she prayed to God. Go ahead. Bring it closer to your mouth, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
In Hindi, we say, we greet each other in Christ. Jai Masih ki.
So, Jai is praise, Masih is Messiah, ki is of. So, praise be to the Lord or of the Lord. Yes, Jai Masih ki.
And in Punjabi, we greet each other in Christ. We say, Tan Sadguru Yeshu.
So Yeshu, as you know, is the Indian name for Jesus. Tan means blessed. Sadguru means the highest one. So blessed is the highest one, who is Jesus. Yes.
So have you heard of frankincense? Would anyone like to enlighten us? What is frankincense? Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is a smoky powder which is burnt to give a sweet fragrance. So unless it is burnt, we don't get the fragrance.
Interesting. Yeah. Or you know what? I can hold it for you.
There you go. No. Just
hold it from the top.
Yeah. That tells everyone that how bad at I have. I am not a speaker at all, not a orator at all.
Okay.
But for the Lord, only for Him, yes. His glory.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, basically, I'm a very shy person. I only started speaking only for His glory, speaking to groups or just in a church or so. Yeah, so I'm still growing in Him. And like you said, I'm the turtle, the slow one. So in our culture, it's predominantly the mother-in-law, father-in-law, they hold the reins of the house, and we have a joint families mostly. Things are changing, but slowly. So when I got married to my husband 32 years ago, it was like I was just thrown into the dungeon. So it was so bad that I had no one to talk to. My husband was totally very alien to me. He would just be with his mother, and he comes from a broken family. So there were some other reasons why things. So making it short, it was a very, very difficult time. And I was suicidal for many years. But I think it was divine grace. Even before I knew the Lord gave me strength. And I used to think, why so much persecution? Is this even normal for a woman to go through so much? Marriage bring a lot of happiness and bonding with the husband and love with the children and everything. But it wasn't so for me. It was hell. So I can easily say that I have been through a kind of hell. So like I started by asking you, what is frankincense? That is the fragrance, the sweetness comes after the burning by the fire. So the persecution and the difficulties and challenges were the fire in my life. God was preparing me. And I have read many times in books and articles that God has a plan for you and prepares you for His glory, to use you. So I think that was His plan for me. And I met a sister in Christ who used to pray for me, and I used to feel very peaceful. She gave me the Bible, and I kept it in my cupboard, the top shelf, for 8 years. It was just lying there. I tried to read it from the book of Genesis, and I said, what is this? I don't understand what's happening. What is this garden? God came, and Adam and Eve, and so many names. What do I do with it? Especially in our culture, we don't have any background of all these things. So I just kept it. And my husband was very supportive. He said, okay, don't read it in front of my mother. If you want to read it, just hide and, you know, read it. But I just was so busy that with so many responsibilities that I kept it in my cupboard. So see the providence of God and His grace, that a time came when my mother-in-law went away for a few years with our son when he went for his higher studies. And my husband at that time, he was not with the Lord, so he was also posted to South India. And that time, Easter of 2008, my friend invited me and my daughters for Easter celebrations. So I was there sitting, and we in Punjabi, the worship was going on in our language, and the pastor said that Jesus Christ is here, you close your eyes, and He's here. And that's what I did, and my life just changed. I saw Jesus Christ in all his serene glory, and a ray of light came from his eyes to my forehead, because I used to live in constant stress and fear, and that when that light came to me from him, I was filled with peace. So like it is said that a dumb person, the person who cannot speak, he cannot describe what he's going through. It was a similar situation for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. From that moment onwards, my life changed for his glory, and for it became all the way better. It took time. God doesn't say that like this, I will come inside and you will just, you know, be in a different world altogether and everything will be good. So then I started fasting and praying for my husband. What was my prayer? So I have, my friend told me, sister in Christ, that I have the gift of faith. From that, what can a person, a mere mortal like me, can say or do when Jesus Christ himself picks me up? I am nothing. So I started praying, Jesus, please make my husband like yourself. That was my prayer. I'm a woman of very few words. That was the only sentence I used to pray, that fill me with your Holy Spirit more, as I started reading the Bible. And in 3 months, this was in April, that is Easter, we have in April. And in June, my husband had his own encounter with the Lord, and he gave his life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, kindly excuse my... a sinner like me was picked up from the dungeons of hell. And Lord, from that moment, from that time, he gave us so much peace and joy and love. Our bonding increased. He was the third God in our marriage. And I started to get to know the love of a man, of my husband. And I still remember there were times when he used to say, come Rani, let's go out somewhere to the hills or something. And I used to look at him, is this my husband? He wants to spend time with me? And I used to think that I am ugly, you know. And people around me, I don't know. I just used to think that I'm ugly. And when I read the word of God, Jesus said to me that, Rani, you are beautiful. You are my daughter. I used to think that I have no qualities. And though I was teaching in a school, I was even like, I'm a certified teacher and also giving tuitions to children. But I, in my heart, in my mind, I used to think that I have no quality. And then when Jesus came and lifted me up from my sorry state, and then he said that I love you. And his love changed me. And from my heart came the sweetness which comes when frankincense is burnt. Amen to the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to us. And I saw in the program for today that there's time for prayers for people, I suppose, Kevin. So I'm very excited about that, that we'd all get time to be prayed for and to pray for others also. So blessings in the name of Jesus, our Messiah, the one who reigns forever and ever, the one who's the victorious one, the name above all names. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much.
Rani, can you please come and join us? Just come up for a moment. We spoke of prayers. We want to pray for you and your lovely husband. So come, please stand over here. Let's stand together. If you feel comfortable, just raise your hands and as towards them, saying this is a movement that I'm saying I'm praying in the name of the Lord for the Holy Spirit and the fullness thereof to come on this couple. And Father, we just ask now in Jesus' holy name, fill them fresh, anoint them fresh as they prepare themselves to go back to their homeland in the Punjab. God, we pray that their message, the message that you've given them, would not only come from their lips, but their hearts and minds and actions as well. And those around them would know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that others will confess that you are Lord because of the testimony of your servants. We thank you that they can be in our house today, and we welcome them in the name of Jesus. And we send them back with his power and his glory, and for your kingdom, O God, may they run the race well and finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Yeah. Please remain standing. We're going to sing a final song, and as the song